Hey, welcome to Laser Graves. I've got one word for you.
What?
Mama.
No.
Mama?
Mama.
Okay, well, you're wondering that ties into this week's episode.
Nope, it doesn't. We just like...
Actually, we just walk around
saying, this is how we speak to each other.
Mama.
Mama?
We're doing Burial Ground, but we'll get to that. Okay, so I'm your co-host, E.K. Wimmer.
I'm your co-host, Mariah Rose Wimmer.
Yep, otherwise known by our kids as Mama. All right. Okay, this week we're doing Burial Ground, 1981. There's a memorable relationship with a mother and son. We'll say that. But
I think that's all that happens.
It's all that you need to know.
There's other stuff. And then Mama... Mama. Mama.
Okay, are you done?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I was winding up, but I'll stop.
Well, before we get into it, you got thrift store finds?
I do.
What you got?
I got...
Give it to me. Lay it on.
I got... So I walked in, and I looked, and on the wall is that weird seascape painting that they... think is an original painting, but it's very clearly printed on canvas. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's enormous. And then I walked up and down the aisles searching for my thrift store find. My find is this, it's like a faux jadeite, so it's like a greenish glass cake stand. And you're telling yourself, we don't need a cake stand. We've already got a cake stand. Why more cake stands? Well... let me tell you what I did with this cake stand. Instead of putting cake on it, I put it on, like, we have a... it's sort of like a bar, I guess, that is a bridge between our kitchen and our living room. And I set it on there. And inside of the cake stand, I put some clay and some ice molds and then very carefully painted some rotten teeth. Two full sets of chompers are sitting on the cake stand. I feel proud.
Okay.
I feel, because they look sort of like from a distance, you're like, ooh, what's that? It looks good. There's lots of like pink and white. But then you get close and you're like, that's not a cupcake.
They're not bonbons.
No, but you could put them in your mouth.
You could. Sure.
So what did you get at a thrift store this week?
I got a bunch of stuff. Well, not a bunch of stuff, but...
ah.
Okay, this is not... typical of what I would do. You normally talk about VHS or something, or records, or I found for our children the Harry Potter books. Snooze fest to our listeners, but
yeah, so we're super late to the Harry Potter game.
Well, our kids are now at an age where they can appreciate
You and I never read them because we were adults and we didn't read children's books solo.
And then today I found finally a new VCR. I've been on the hunt for a good one, not a junky one. Because they're harder to come by, especially because they're not made anymore. And today I finally found a nice one. All right, let's get to it, because I am chomping at the bit to talk about...
chomping at the...
don't say it! don't give it away! Okay. Burial Ground, 1981. Directed by Andrea Bianchi.
Bianchi!
That's she.
CHI, it's Italian, Bianchi.
No, it's Italian.
Okay, we need to address this here and now. What? There are people in our world that say Italian.
Like, mainly baby boomers. They're like, that's the crowd.
Yeah, and it's not just one. There are many.
Oh, yeah.
I've been studying, and they'll be like, I would like some Italian dressing.
Yeah, but they're not like, I'm going to travel to Italy.
No, you don't say Italian. You say Italian. You
okay.
Say Italy.
So this Italian director that okay. Okay. It's clearly Italian. It's really cool. How I found this, I actually mentioned this VHS on our Monkey Shines episode because we were talking about thrift store finds and I'd found a VHS Burial Ground. And the cover, I was talking a lot about the cover because the cover is phenomenal. It's like
it's
quintessential.
Special.
Horror movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't you have the best memories of being like a little kid and just like scoping the VHS for the horror? I mean,
the
I
goods.
Guess your parents were like, go ahead. My parents were like, don't look that direction.
Yeah. It'll
and so I would like side eye and the best covers caught my side eye.
No, but this is, I found it in a store, at a thrift store, and I remember on that episode saying, I bet we'll do an episode on this, and
here we are.
Surprise. So, this is interesting because I thought we hadn't seen this.
I hadn't seen this.
It turns out you had not, because you would have for sure remembered.
I would have remembered.
I did see it. I have seen it, and I realized I had seen it and knew it very well. It made a strong impression on me when a certain character enters the room.
Yes.
Mama.
We'll get to it.
But do you want to know why I remembered it so strongly?
Yeah.
Because I featured that person on a site I used to run years and years ago called the Zombie Spotlight.
Is it still up?
It's still available. All of them are still up there on there.
So what's the website? Because it was so good.
It's just called the Zombie Spotlight.
.com?
It's like Blogspot or something. If you Google it, it comes right up. And I have not updated it in like 12 years. But it was a site that I ran.
Hilarious.
It was so fun. I would evaluate zombie performances in cinema. and I think there are two from this movie Burial Ground that I actually featured on the Zombie Spotlight. But I found this one and I was laughing and I was like, oh, I for sure remember this.
I know then, because you had a job that was a stupid job and you quit in the ultimate blaze of glory. In the way that we all wish we could quit a bad job, you stuck it to the man, and there was a small window of time where you were at home watching a lot of movies while I was at work.
I created the Zombie Spotlight where I just evaluated the actual zombies' performances. And then this is also when I created the Bond Awards, and I watched every single James Bond movie back to back in the span of like a week, like all 22 films or something. And then I created my own award ceremony for myself. Of like best villain, all that kind of, yeah. Okay, that's
it. Good times
for sure.
20s were fun.
20s were great. Okay, so I have seen this. You have not. This is a first time watch, which I'm very excited
about.
Well,
I've seen it now. I'm not just talking about something I haven't seen.
Right.
That would be madness.
We start with the Vestron video logo, and there's a great creepy score right at the beginning. It's got this
I kind of dug the score. I noticed it a few times.
Yeah, it's got the theremin, the like, woo,
that's what it is.
Sci-fi, but it's mixed with other music. I was wondering who the composer was, and it was actually two composers. And you
Jordan
can tell it
and
when you...
and Farman Schnoog.
It's always Jordan something with you. It's
Jordan McKnight. Jordan Knight.
So there were two composers. And you can tell that when you know it, listening to the score, because you can tell how they're kind of taking turns and one specializes in one sound and one in the other. But I liked the score.
Do you think they're like Matmos and they like held hands as they...
as they stomped on glass.
Yeah. Nice. And they like whispered in each other's ears. Now the theremin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, we open with...
It's a heavily bearded man.
Very bearded man. He's like a hipster.
Basically just a heavily bearded man. I think he's underground. it's unclear because it's so dark.
Yeah, that's what I wrote. I wrote, not the best lit movie. For the first 5 minutes, all we see is a ball of light because he's holding a flashlight.
Yes.
And an occasional flash of a beard. And that's... I'm not joking.
A beard and like forehead.
It is so dark.
And he says... only one knows the secret, and I think obviously the secret Oprah knows the secret. And
presidential run,
lots of walking in the dark. He's chiseling in a cave, and finally a zombie approaches him and he says, stand back, I'm your friend.
Good job, and then
he goes and dies.
He does die, and so we've got zombies.
And then it's opening credit time.
Yeah, he gets eaten, and that's that. Then we get the opening credits to this groovy 70s jam.
And did you appreciate how I read every single Italian name with a very strong Italian accent?
I don't know.
You didn't react, so I'm just checking.
Well, I guess, for clarification, I don't know if you did an Italian accent as much as you did what you think an Italian accent
is. Well, but
is.
I made the That's a spicy meatball.
Yeah, and then you said all
the It wasn't offensive at all.
No, it was good. It was great.
So after the opening credits, it's like a family, but also their friends. They're arriving at an estate.
Yeah, and you know what? With the film, the look, the sound, the groovy soundtrack, it feels like a lost Jess Franco film, doesn't it?
Kind of, yeah.
And then I also felt like the premise of these fancy couples pulling up to this awesome mansion, it reminds me so much of a film that we love from the 70s mm-hmm. called The Devil's Nightmare. Here's something that I realized. This film, what I love about it, oh, I love a lot of things about it, but one thing that I love is that you and I have a deep appreciation for 70s Euro sleaze films, mm-hmm. which we cannot cover on this podcast. This is like a loophole because this is technically an 80s film. So when it's got the Devil's Nightmare premise already, mm-hmm. I was very excited.
Yeah, it was good. So they're at the gates of this estate and they like call up through an intercom, which was probably super fancy at the time. And then there's a woman in the car and she's angry smiling. Do you notice that Mama has an angry smile? She like stares. I'm doing it right now. All teeth, mm-hmm. eyes kind of, like you can see the whites underneath.
Yeah, you can stop doing that though. I got it.
Okay. Anyway, so she's angry talking with her husband. And then there's a bunch of people. They arrive at the manor. And there's staff there to help. It's like a maid and a couple of butlers, I think. They help unload. And then we basically just skip to a half hour of different couples
making out.
Getting it on.
Well, so I'll start off with the first one, mm-hmm. which is a striptease at the very beginning.
Yes.
And it is a very revealing striptease that involves the man telling the woman.
Before you get there.
Okay, because I'm excited to talk about it.
Before you get to this. So the woman is wearing sexy lingerie, which she found in a trunk. Mm-hmm. That is extremely important to note. So she gets to this manor and goes digging through trunks, finds somebody's negligee, and is like, cool, gonna wear this and seduce my man. And yeah. He's cool with that.
You want to know why he's cool with it?
Yep.
Because he says, quote, you look just like a little whore, but I like that.
Yep.
Okay. Well, there's their relationship.
They're nice. Was this Mama?
I think it was Mama.
Okay. Yes, Mama and I guess Daddy, but we don't ever hear his name.
Nope, just Mama.
Mama. And so they start...
Making out.
Oh, yeah, it is. Because then the door slams open.
Right. And there's like weird music playing that's like a piano ballad with the space age vibrato going over the top of it. So it's like mm-hmm. a pretty ballad, but then like woo over the top of all of it.
And then, slowly a shadow appears, the most important character of any movie ever made, Michael. He walks in and says,
Mama, Mama.
I feel like it's a question. Like, Mama?
Oh, really?
Because he sees her, like, humping, and he's disturbed, and he's like, Mama?
Okay, why is this important? Because let's paint a pretty picture for the people who have not seen it. Michael is a...
This makes me uncomfortable.
He's a grown dwarf man.
He's not a dwarf,
though. That's how he's described, as a dwarf.
But he's not that small. He just seems short
and thin. He is got like a toupee on.
Yeah, he's got like a bowl cut toupee. And he's wearing a what is it? Like a black turtleneck and black pants. Like a black turtleneck tucked into black pants.
I didn't... I meant to save a photo to show you, but do you want to know how he was described at the time?
Yes.
As a miniature Dario Argento. And when you look at a photo of Dario from that time, it looks just like him.
Hold on. I'm looking it up right now. Just pause. Wait, here's a picture of David Bowie.
Oh, yeah, I know that. That's a great one.
With Dario Argento.
So that's our Michael, our man-child who really loves his mama.
I don't understand anything about Michael.
This is where I got really excited because I was
I've
definitely seen this.
Jumped up and down, clapped your hands, wiped your tears.
I was so excited. Okay, let's push this puppy forward.
Oh, okay. So then we have another couple. There's like a woman talking. She says something terrible will happen. We learn later her name is Janet. His name is Mark. She's like, something terrible's gonna happen here.
I like that you wrote down the character's names as though it matters.
He shuts her up by covering her mouth as she's telling him something with his own mouth.
Zombies in the crypt?
Yeah, well...
Can we flash forward to the photo shoot the next day? Because that's really fun.
Yeah, let's do that. It's Mark and Janet.
She trips and falls. And instead of him saying, are you okay? He goes, don't move! And then photographs her as she fell. And I loved that he made no attempt to check on her.
No.
He just wanted to photograph her.
He says, don't move. And then she just kind of strikes a pose. She's like, okay. And so while they're doing that, we see zombies are starting to rustle about. And then back at the house, the light bulbs begin exploding and the maid cries. Lots of like back and forth shots too of zombies trolling. And then Michael runs up. Oh, yeah. So Mama and Michael's dad, maybe, are in the basement.
Stepdad.
With a bunch of, like, Etruscan-style statues. And they're shooting a gun in the basement. Sure. And Mike goes, Mama? And I wrote, so soft, so gentle.
So innocent. There's also, so we do get a lot of zombie crawls and cool stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I really love this movie. I think the zombies are awesome.
They all have maggots, like actual maggots.
Mm-hmm. And they're coming at this one guy that's getting attacked. And I love that as he's looking at them with maggots falling out of their face,
mm-hmm.
crawling, he says, whatever it is, it's not human.
Yes.
And boy, he's a genius.
Yes. And that's Mark and Janet again. The zombie, like, grabs Mark's leg, but he scoots away. And then Michael, we flash back to Michael, who is wandering around the basement while Mama and Stepdaddy, maybe, are shooting guns. And he, like, grabs a cloth and starts sniffing it.
Okay.
And he goes...
Oh, he's special.
He goes, Mama, this cloth smells of death.
Oh, right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
And then the zombies approach.
Yeah, and there's this so cool... This is like one of the top zombie films.
No, this is a Michael film.
It is not a Michael film. Mama? Michael happens to be in it, but it is a zombie film.
And then it's like... Really, we can kind of skip through this. It's like actual shots of people licking each other's tongues and zombies crawling at them. So there's a third couple involved. Back to Mark and Janet, and they're trying to escape. And Janet gets her foot caught in a trap, like a bear trap, maybe?
Is this where they finally eat them?
No, it's Mama's husband.
Gets eaten because they pull out the guts and it looks like hot pink taffy. It's really funny. It looks really good. I don't know what that was all about.
You're like 20% zombie already.
There is a huge portion of this film is just...
Shots of zombies strolling through this manor's countryside.
I love it. It just has such a great tone of dread because they're just coming at you.
And they're thinking zombies too.
Oh, and they're like weapon wielding zombies.
Later, yeah. Not at first. At first, they're just slow moving.
So let's get to, first off, this film. We're pretty short into this film.
It's only like 80 minutes.
But it is 85. All zombie the whole time.
Yes.
But it is really like not messing around.
From scene one. Also, we should mention that initial scene of the man with a beard. Long story short, actually not a long story, just a short story short. That was the professor who was supposed to be there, but he was killed by the zombies he invoked. Back to Janet, she's got her foot in a bear trap. Mark is trying and failing, so he's just opening it and reclosing it, opening it and reclosing
it. Is he the one that has the pitchfork? Is this the pitchfork
scene? It comes to it, yes. And the zombies are approaching, and to Mark's credit, he doesn't bolt. He could have just left Janet and been like, good luck, guys. But instead, he grabs a really skinny pitchfork. It looks like the tines would bend.
He doesn't do anything. Okay, I want to talk about this scene because it made me laugh. He picks a pitchfork up and then he bonks one of them on the head with it. And I'm like, well, that was weird.
He's just kind of slapping around.
And then he pins another one. And I'm like, all you have to do is push forward.
Nope.
The zombie is lined up for it to impale the zombie very easily. And somehow, not only does he not push the pitchfork through the zombie, he just allows the zombie to choke him. Like,
yeah.
I don't even know how he got to that point. How did you go from holding a pitchfork to a zombie's torso to not doing anything with a pitchfork to being choked to death?
I do like that this movie, they don't all just run from the danger. This other couple comes rushing and they hop to it. The man helps with a strangling situation. The woman rescues Janet, who's about to be killed. She smashes in a skull. Like, they seem to get skull smashing needs to happen. They get Janet and her cool boots free. More zombies come. And then Mama and Michael running from the house are banging on a door, like, to be let up out of the basement. The door to the basement's locked. And Michael suggests that they start burning the zombies.
Yeah, she throws, like, gas or some kind of oil.
Yeah, there's, like, just a bucket. So, to, like, let's paint this picture. It's Etruscan statues in a basement in which they were shooting, and now there's also just a jug of gasoline.
Several open jugs of gasoline, conveniently.
Like you do.
And she just happened to have matches in her hand.
Yeah, well, I think they all smoke. It's Italy.
Also, the score here is really interesting. There is, there's something I need to mention about this movie that I love that stands out from other zombie movies. The zombies appear and walk around with such arrogance. Like, it's like they own the place, but they have this quality about them that's like, I'm here and I'm walking around. And I, the whole time I was watching this, wanted to assign names to all of them, like Larry and Charlie, and like, they were so specific and individual, but they had this like know-it-all attitude as they were walking around. I really loved it. I felt like there was a story there where
it was more of a slow and steady wins the race situation.
Well, I feel like they were like, they have a backstory in amongst themselves, like they were a gang.
Yeah, well, I think they're supposed to be Etruscan, aren't they?
I don't know, but I really loved the attitude that they gave. That it came out in that performance. This is a little zombie spotlight coming out. So just
real good actors.
Very much. So also, this is where zombies, we find out, they can use weapons because this is the maid scene coming up, which is real fun.
Yeah, so the whole crew makes it into the house and they close all the doors. The zombies start to gather outside. And the gang is like securing some doors and windows, but apparently leaving others wide open and easy breezy. And also treating the staff who are, you know, reacting to the zombie situation, but treating them like, go get me this now, maid. And they...
Well, life has to continue.
Yeah, so the class system remains intact. Yeah, so they send the maid walking through darkened passages. She sees, like, a curtain open on the lower level, blowing in the wind. She goes to close it, and she gets smashed in the hand with a sickle.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's decapitated.
Yeah,
and the zombies, great. Like, chow down on her noggin, while her lower half is just kind of leaned out the window.
Mm-hmm. It's really cool.
And then next up, so basically also this group doesn't understand, like, stay together. They wander off one by one in a classic mismove or whatever.
This was a great scene that was also rapid fire puns of her getting ahead, her losing her head in the moment.
Yes.
All that.
Very Austin Powers.
Yeah, it was very much like she's putting her neck out. Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun scene because a zombie decapitated a maid.
With a sickle.
With a sickle. You just don't see that very often.
And it was like you would almost have to make an effort in this situation to be decapitated. And she did.
Yeah, and boy, is it, when it's nighttime in this film, you can't see shit. Like, it is such a dark film.
Yeah, it's really poorly lit. And so the man comes looking for something, who knows, and he finds the maid and just kind of tosses her body out. He's like,
just pushes it
finish
over
this job, guys.
Yeah.
And now the zombies arm themselves with weapons. They reapproach the house. And then the whole, like, human crew goes to the balcony, and they're like, we're gonna do this. And they start shooting skulls, and the zombies are like, oh, this sucks, and they leave.
Yeah, the lady who has the broken ankle from the bear trap, is she really...
Janet.
She gives an A-class performance, too, of convincing us her ankle's hurting.
It's a lot of, like, oh! Ooh.
Well, to be fair, it's all overdubbed, so it's gonna sound like that.
Whatever. Okay. Janet's performance. Just watch it and go, Janet, Janet, Janet.
Hey, remember that one time when we watched Monster Dog and you didn't realize it was overdubbed?
I knew this was overdubbed. Thank you very much. We see also see Janet has a bruised ankle from the bear trap.
We kind of see, but it's so dark. Can I mention here that Okay, I'm a VHS collector. I'm not into, like, Blu-rays and restorations and stuff, but this is a case that I bet you seeing a restored version of this film, oh, that's what was happening.
That's what they were trying to do. It was, like, 90% black with, like, arms and legs flailing about. Then another woman passes by a window and a zombie breaks through and grabs her. I don't remember her name. We'll get to it. They really didn't do a good job of introducing any character.
Is this where the mom grabs the machete? She grabs a machete and chops the fingers off and decapitates the zombie. It's so cool. And then Michael, like, screams when he walks in.
Oh, I don't... Maybe I missed that.
Really? Because it's the lead up to the big scene. So where are you
at? Well, she ends up dead, though. With Michael?
Oh, this is long before that. We have to get to a whole other scene first.
Oh, calm down.
Oh, you must have been sleeping.
No, I wasn't asleep. So Janet and the butler light candles as zombies are banging on the door. You're looking at me like you're she fell asleep. What?
No, I'm just wondering why you wrote that in your notes.
What?
That they lit candles.
Because I thought it was inappropriate.
Okay.
Then the zombies break in as dumb Janet breathes and screams. She's like, ah! It's a lot of that.
It is a lot of that. So there's this scene. I don't know. I guess you didn't catch it. There's a scene where the zombie's coming in.
Oh, I get what you're saying. Yes.
And the mom grabs a machete and chops off the fingers and then decapitates the zombie.
That's right.
And
yes.
Michael comes in and is like screaming and is like, Mama, and then takes this opportunity to pivot the film to a whole new direction.
Yes. So he's troubled by this. Yeah. Yes. Okay. I see what you're saying. Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Michael goes over to his mother to be comforted. And what
like a baby.
What starts with a little kiss turns into a lot of kissing, turns into groping, turns into hand up skirt, and then trying to pull out.
Yeah, well, it's like kiss on the cheek, kiss on the other cheek, kiss on the mouth, and then he's like, I'm gonna just see how far Mama will go.
Yeah, and he is like, Mama, I need this. I need you.
And he talks about... like how she used to nurse him or something to that effect.
Yeah, and then she gives him a nice solid slap.
A full rejection.
And he, after like groping and sticking his hand up his mom's dress, like runs off. Keep in mind, this is a man child. This is an
adult male.
An adult, short, like dwarf male with a toupee running around. Okay, so. To set the tone.
Yes. And then Michael comes across, this is where we learn her name because Michael says it 50 billion times, Leslie.
Yeah. And then this is where he gets eaten, right?
Yeah. So she is now a zombie. He comes across her because she died. And.
Leslie.
Yes.
Not the mom.
No. The mom killed the zombie.
Oh, Leslie is the one with the boots that got the broken ankle.
No, that's Janet. Okay. Leslie's okay. The red dress and the white boots who had been making out with her boyfriend also. Oh. Three couples. Mama and daddy. Daddy's killed. Janet and Mark. There are like strongholds to the very end. And then Leslie and whomever she's with. Leslie has been killed because the butler abandoned her.
Okay.
While they were searching for who knows what.
Oh, I did write that down.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the confusion a little while ago.
Because she walks in and Mama is really sad about her little baby.
Yes.
And gets really mad at Leslie. And
yeah. Well, Leslie kills Michael.
Yeah, but then she starts screaming, "You killed my baby," mm-hmm. which I thought was pretty unfair. Like, at this point, Leslie's a zombie. Can you really, like...
You can't begrudge her. It's no. only natural when you're a zombie.
She needs to lay off.
But Mama wails on Leslie.
She does. She bashes her brains in.
Yeah, so that's the end of Leslie. That's, we think, the end of Michael. No, but, oh, no. There's more to come.
There's definitely a Burial Ground part two in the making.
Ugh. So then all that's left of the crew, Janet, Mark, the other guy, I think it's a butler, they think, maybe we should just let the zombies in. Maybe they want something inside the house that isn't us.
Yeah.
Because the evidence all points to that.
This is a really funny scene where already we've seen zombies walking around using weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Now they pick up a battering ram and start collectively, like, in with teamwork, bashing in the front of the door
mm-hmm.
while the survivors just watch. And they're like, huh.
Well, apparently at some point they developed a plan because when they break through, everybody runs and hides in a secret, like, door in the wall, which none of this has been covered in the plot up to this point. I'm just like, oh, there's a secret passage.
Well, it's a castle. Of course there is.
So they go escape and they find Mama because Mama isn't with them and she's wailing. And she informs Leslie's husband or boyfriend or whatever, and he goes and takes a peek at dead Leslie.
I loved this scene for one reason.
Why?
So he runs in, and what he stumbles across is Leslie's dead with her head, like, bashed in.
Mm-hmm.
He's bled out. And the guy runs in and just screams, "Leslie, why?" And does not even acknowledge Creepy Michael. He's just like, yeah. Okay.
Can you blame him?
I just
him?
Love the reaction is like, does not care at
World's
all.
World's better without Michael.
Definitely better.
And then they're like, oh, you're still the butler. Go to the armory and grab a weapon. So they instruct the butler that he should go to the armory and grab a weapon. And then, oh, surprise, the professor pops out of the basement and he attacks the butler and kills him.
Yep, he has a little snack. Professor's been wandering and he's hungry.
A butler snack.
And now we're down to four people and they walk to a monastery
mm-hmm.
where there are zombie monks. This is pretty
mm-hmm.
funny.
And then they take a little nap.
Yeah.
They're like, let's snooze for a bit.
Yeah, and this was an ideal time for you to start taking a little nap.
I was real tired of this
And
movie.
I just wrote, there's only 10 minutes left. You cannot fall asleep.
So then they sleep for a bit, and when they wake up, Janet has a meltdown. They are wandering through the monastery. Mama is not okay at this point. Leslie's husband goes to talk with the monks, and they overtake him. The crew basically just bears witness to the monks killing Leslie's husband. They don't really do anything. I think they're tired.
They're about to bear witness to something else
Gross.
Right here, which is...
Wait. Leslie's husband sits up, so he's now a zombie. The crew ends up in the basement of the monastery. The door opens and zombies enter. They all run around the basement. Mark's hitting zombies. The others are watching. Then Mark, Janet, and Mama make a run for it. But then Michael.
Zombie Michael
back.
Appears. And he really needs Mama's attention.
Mama's real excited, so she runs to hug him.
And she pushes his head into her boobs.
Her breasts, and tries to nurse him.
And says, go ahead. Just like you were a baby. Mm-hmm. I know you want to.
And Janet and Mark are basically like, okay, bye.
And he whips out one of her breasts.
Yep.
And we get the iconic moment of Burial Crown that puts this in a class
of its own.
Of its own.
I hope.
Where Michael, the man child with his toupee on, puts his whole mouth around her nipple and rips it off. It is so incredibly amazing.
Yep. And that's the end of Mama. Then a bunch of monks use this confusing moment to grab Mark and get ready to saw him. And Janet just kind of disappears screaming under a wall of zombie hands.
As this saw is going, and apparently the zombies know how to use table saws, like power tools.
Well, yeah, they've been getting smarter.
Yeah, and as they're putting that one towards a table saw, there is a scene of Michael, and he is seriously munching on the nipple like it's beef jerky. He's got a little piece.
It's her full breast.
No, I don't know. He's like ripped it off, but he's just like got nipple jerky. It's so amazing.
That's gross. It's yeah. Really, really, really awful.
And so is this, who is Janice?
Janet.
Janet is the final one. And it freeze frames on zombie hands surrounding all around her.
Mm-hmm.
And that
as
is
she's screaming.
The final moment of the film. And then we get a quote
that ties it all together.
Over the top that says, I wrote it down.
Yep.
Quote, "The earth shall tremble, graves shall open, they shall come among the living, a messenger of death, and there shall be the nights of terror. Prophecy of the Black Spider."
Okay, that's real dumb.
Okay.
I feel like they could have come up with something
first
better.
First off, Knights was spelled N-I-G-T-H-S.
Oh.
And Prophecy was spelled P-R-O-F-E-C-Y. I looked up Prophecy of the Black Spider.
Oh, and?
It's a real thing.
Oh.
14th century monk named Rango Nero wrote the Eternal Book. It was prophecies, and apparently a lot of them were very accurate. He was like Nostradamus ahead of his time, and he was known as Ragno Nero, the Black Spider. And it was a book of prophecies. So this is all based around one of his prophecies that the dead will come back to life.
Oh, dear.
There you go. There is Burial Ground. Okay. How much time we got? We got all the time we want because it's our podcast. I have to know what you thought of this film.
I don't know. It was hilarious and unsettling and also way too dark.
I feel like with an iconic horror movie,
mm-hmm.
cheesy horror, whatever, it has to have something very specific about it that sets it apart.
And it's only like Michael and Mama.
Michael.
If there had been no Michael and Mama, this would have been a full, like, fart sound of a movie. I would have slept through it.
Okay, I'm going to definitely push back on that and say no, because I love the zombies in
this
movie.
The zombies were cool, but it gets old after about 25 minutes.
Sure, there is a lot of wandering zombies.
So if there wasn't some Mama and Michael relationship situation happening, it would be a total bust. But with the unsettling nature of that relationship as it unfolds before our very eyes to completion, I would say it's a thumbs down. But for that, watch it if this is your kind of thing.
What was your reaction when Michael took a bit of the old munched the grindage?
Oh, I have a reactive face, and my face muscles hurt after that because I reacted so violently with a cringe face that my cheeks were hurting as I went to bed after that.
All right. Well, good. So that's
what were your thoughts
about Burial Ground?
Oh, yeah. No,
I love
Wayne's
it.
World.
Okay, for a couple of reasons. I remembered almost everything about it. The second
it was
like
etched
definitely etched in. How could you not remember it? So it was kind of funny that I didn't think I had seen it, but I guess I just didn't make note of the name.
If it had said Mama,
yeah,
question mark at the beginning. Like,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I loved it. I think as far as zombie films go, honestly, this might be one of my favorites because, yes, the mama story is crazy and totally bonkers. Michael is like a straight out of
legendary.
He's like out of a trauma film. But
yeah,
that aside, just the way the zombies are constructed, the way they kind of slowly keep coming at you, there is no escape. The setting of this castle, the cool soundtrack. I just love everything about it. I think this is an awesome film.
Can I argue? I don't think I like thinking zombies. When zombies start to problem solve, I'm like, then just go to the supermarket, dum-dum. Like, what are you chasing these people for? If you can problem solve, like, go build a house and get a job, zombie.
Like, what was that, Fido or whatever that movie was?
Where yeah.
That
was such a good movie. Pick the maggots off your face and go do something else, buddy. If you can think, yep. Reach your conclusions. That's kind of what's wrong with a Day of... No. Not Day of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
They start to think too much. And then you think, well, okay, go do your own thing then, bud.
But that's kind of scary at the same time.
I don't think so.
All right. I don't know. I kind of like that idea where they start to have a conscience. Because do you remember what was Warm Bodies? Do you remember that movie?
Oh, yeah. So good.
And they start to have, like, there's bits of memory that comes back to them. And
yeah,
I like that idea.
But then they rejoin.
Yeah, but you have to,
like... Once they become aware.
Evolve the zombie somehow. Otherwise, it's just stagnant, walking around saying brains or whatever.
No, but the, like, zombie that has no conscience and just wants to get you is the scary one. The zombie that's, like... after you for whatever purpose and they're using their zombie cunning to get you, that just makes them like a cat burglar.
No.
With face maggots.
A zombie that could tear your guts out but decides to instead decapitate you is pretty cool.
Anybody can tear anybody's guts out or decapitate them. Only a zombie can just attack with face maggots.
I just feel like they were having fun in this film. Mm. They were just in a romp. This was their time to shine. And
huh,
they really succeeded.
It was a good movie in the sense that it was a bad movie.
All right. Well, there you go. That's our little episode on Burial Ground. What was this? What year was this? 81?
81. It was the year of my birth.
Wow. This is an early one for us. Mm-hmm. I still don't think we've done one from 1980,
oh.
Which is pretty funny because there's only like 9 years to cover or 10 years to cover. And
it's a decade.
And we somehow still, I don't think we've done every year of the 80s yet. And we're like 30, almost 40
episodes. We should figure
in.
Out our like holes and fill those holes.
Okay. Okay, we'll work on that. And if you like what you hear or you know somebody that would recommend it, but you can follow us on Spotify and iTunes and Podbean at Laser Graves. We're on Instagram at Laser Graves, and I'm on there at Death at 33 RPM.
I'm at Mariah Rose Wimmer.
And give us a follow and check out our future episodes. They're going to be about the 80s, guaranteed.
Thank you for listening, and thank you for sharing.
Okay, good night.
Or good morning.
Or
good day. Good day, sir.
Or...
Mama.